Okay, good morning, everyone. We're back to after the beautiful Sfira period and the holiday of Shavuos. We're back to normal, namely, we are wearing tefillin every day. I hope. In other words, I hope that that statement is true around this table. We will not go around the table and see who put on tefillin this morning and who did not. What we will do this morning is to actually ask the following question. When did you take off your tefillin? And that is the question I want to deal with this morning. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, says as follows. I'm sorry?
Regular day or Rosh Chodesh?
Regular day. Amar Ula, says Ula. Correct Kriyat Shema below tefillin. If you read Kriyat Shema without your tefillin on, ki ilu me'idei du checker batzmo. It is as if you are giving testimony and you are lying your face off. Not lying your face off, but rather, what does the Gemara say? Ki ilu. It is like you're lying. Why is it like you're giving false testimony? You're saying Kriyat Shema. You're saying Gukshartam le'ot al yadecha v'hayu le'totafot bein einecha. And you're not doing it. Therefore, it's like Idut Sheker. Rav Chiyama, Rav Amar, Rav Yochanan, a little better. Ki ilu hikriv ola belo mincha v'zevach belo nesachim. As you know, every korban had additional ingredients to it. So let's take the second example, zevach belo nesachim. As you know, we just went through the holiday of Shavuos. Many of you, if you remember, after staying up all night, you daven Musaf. In the Musaf, you mentioned the psukim that talk about the korbanos, and usually it ends with uminchatam beniskehem kemedubar. Every korban came with menachos and nesachim, namely some sort of a flour-based korban or addition, and some sort of
Flour and oil and wine libations.
So, if you bring a korban without the additions, it's not the end of the world, but it's definitely not the right way to go about bringing a korban. So too, says Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Yochanan, about wearing tefillin. You're saying Kriyat Shema. You're saying the words, Ukshatam lota yadecha vayilu tatvot ben inecha. You could say it. I mean, we do it at night, but it's not right, because it's a time for tefillin. You're not having it on. Again, so the Shulchan Aruch comes out and says very simply, "Mitzvatan liyotam alav kol hayom." You're actually supposed to wear tefillin all day, and then he gives the reasons why we don't wear tefillin all day, various different reasons. But he ends, "Da'agun shalol anicham kol hayom." That's our minhag today. Mikol makom, however, tzarich kol adam, every person, lizaher behem, to be very careful, liyotam alav b'sha'at kriyat shma. We just learned the Gemara why, and he adds a word. Utfila. During davening. The Shulchan Aruch actually said this earlier. Tzarich shiyu tefillin alav b'shat kriyat shema utfila. So both in Siman Lamed Zayin and a little before in Siman Kaf Hei, he mentions the fact that the tefillin should be on during kriyat shema and davening. And indeed, many a Jew have associated chakras with tefillin. I have seen many things and actually heard many things about it. I've certain people have tefillin on after davening, so they asked him, "I'm sorry, are you still davening?" In which they wouldn't phantom that the tefillin would continue to be on after Kriyat Shema and davening. We have associated davening with tefillin. As a matter of fact, when someone was once in the following situation, he WhatsApped me from the plane saying, "We're in turbulence, I can't get up, my tefillin's on my seat above, and it's time to daven shachris, and the time is going by, can I daven shachris without my tefillin?" And obviously, that's actually an open Mishnah Berurah. The answer is, of course you can. It's not optimal, but that's, of course, the situation. And afterwards, when the turbulence ended, he put on tefillin again. But let's say on a regular day, we put on tefillin, and we say Kriyat Shema for the reasons you just saw, but we also put it on for davening. Fine.
What happens if you're in a situation where you have to go to work?
Yeah.
And you're davening for Alos HaShachar or by Alos HaShachar. Can you put the tefillin on and then move the tefillin?
First of all, you can't daven before Alos HaShachar.
Before Netz, but after Alos HaShachar.
After Alos HaShachar, right. Before Mishiyokir ben Chelet Lelavad, then yes, you can put on the tefillin and then make the bracha and move him a bit when the time comes. That's correct. Well, in general, the reasons why we put it on for davening is that we're supposed to have it on all day, as the Shulchan Aruch says here in Siman Lamed Zayin. But for various reasons, one of them is because our minds will be diverted from the tefillin. After all, we're getting phone calls all the time, and many of you are playing with your phones as I'm talking now because it's much more interesting than what I'm saying. And therefore, and because to prevent that, we say at least for the half an hour shachris, you can somehow, in some way, hold yourself back. But more than that, we're not going to give. And that's in times of the Shulchan Aruch already. Imagine where we are today. Imagine what he would have said today if he looked at a typical Chazarat HaShatz. Imagine. In any case, that's the reason. Well, we're good Jews. We put on tefillin for Kriyat Shema, so we're not giving false testimony or bringing a korban without the Nesachim. We have it on for davening. When does davening end and we can take them off? We all understand. We got to take them off because our mind's going to be diverted for various reasons that the Shulchan Aruch brings here, Gufnaki, etc., etc. We take them off.
It can't be if.
When do you take them off? Harold, you don't have to look at me. It's okay. Look at the page.
Oh, okay. No, I don't need it.
Why do we have a source sheet if we're not going to... Why did the Chachamim allow us to write down Torah Shebaal Peh if we're going to continue to learn it Baal Peh? We're defeating the whole purpose of the printed press over here. No, Shulchan Aruch deals with this question. In the same simon that he talks about putting on tefillin for davening, you read on and he talks about it, yes.
But is there a requirement to take them off? There might be a requirement that you can't sleep with the tefillin, is there actually a requirement to take them off?
Again, the Shulchan Aruch says here that you're supposed to have them on all day. That's the assumption. Secondly, and as you know, there's many good Jews that feel, hey, I can do it. I can do it. I don't divert my attention. I'm all right. But in general, that's the minhag. So if you are going like the minhag and you take off your tefillin, the question is, what part of davening are you allowed to take them off? So God forbid you don't divert your attention, whatever it might be. What is the point in davening where, we know when Kriyat Shema is over, but where does tefillah end? That the Shulchan Aruch says, okay, Kriyat Shema tefillah, the bare minimum, where does it end? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Hei, Seif Yud Gimel, says as follows. Yes, Bruce?
Some people, the minion is moving, but the person had to leave early, so he davened, and then he took the spell off.
So let's see. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Nahagu Olam, the minog is, Shalo lachatzol lachlotz tefillin, ad achrei kidusha uvalatziyam. So when do you take off your tefillin?
Oh, because of Kedusha and Uvalitzion, is that it?
Kedusha Uvalitzion, from our perspective, let's just focus on the last word, Uvalitzion. Right. So Valitzion, it's towards the end of davening. Now, there is a machlokus on this particular issue, what it means. Okay? Just a side point, the Shulchan Aruch adds, Uvayom Sheyesh Bo Sefer Torah, on the day you take out the Torah, like tomorrow morning, Thursday, then you should only take off your tefillin when the Sefer Torah is back in the ark. Right. Now, which nusach did the Shulchan Aruch daven?
Probably Sfard.
Sfard or nusach Eidut HaMizrach. So what they do is they say, Ashrei Velatzion, Kaddish Tiskabel, then they put the Sefer Torah back. So indeed, the Ramah, who daven nusach Ashkenaz in Krakow, comes along and says, Hagah, V'haynu b'makom shemachtesim HaTorah la'achar uvalatzion goel. Aval emviga minhag medinot elu, where I live in Krakow, shemachnisim haTorah miyad la'achar kriya, and we put away the Torah before Ashrei Uvalitzion. It's like any other day. Ashrei Uvalitzion, you put it back. Very good. Okay. Nice. Got it. If you daven nusach Sfard, then every day after Ashrei Uvalitzion, if you daven nusach Ashkenaz every day after Ashrei Uvalitzion, if you daven nusach Sfard on every day except for when you put back the Torah, then it's after you put back the Torah. Very nice. By the way, on this very issue, there is a machloikes between various achronim. What does those words mean? We'll just read the Mishnah Brura. Ube'emet zarich lomar, and indeed the Shulchan Aruch, I love when he says Ube'emet zarich lomar, if the Shulchan Aruch was more meduyak, he would have said. Now that's something the Mishnah Berurah of the Chafetz Chaim does a lot. He takes the words of the Shulchan Aruch and he changes them. He changes them to meet his halachic opinion. So for example, the Ramah said you'll have to daven mincha until go play the kochav, and Mr. Weiss is correct. Ada Erev. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? No, he means Ada Shkia. Now, we understand the word Erev and Shkia are not exactly synonymous. So, that happens many times. It's okay. This is one of those times. Uve'emet zarich lomar, what the Shulchan Aruch really means, should have said, is Gimel Kaddishim V'dalet Kedushos. Three Kaddishes, four Kedushos. Now he's going to take us by the hand and tell us what he means. Everybody ready? One. Baruch Hu Hashem, Nichshav Chada. The first time you say a Kedusha is Baruch Hu Hashem Amvorach. Shu Davar Shebikdusha. What's a Davar Shebikdusha? A thing of sanctity. Something that requires a minyan. What's the first part of davening really requires a minyan? Baruch Hu. Next. Ukedusha Tzafa Brura. What's Kedusha Tzafa Brura? Ve'alfanim ve'chayos ha'kodesh b'raz kado mitnasim lumat zrafim. No, that's not it. Ve'safa ve'ura uve'ni'ima. Kedusha! Kulam ke'echad. Onim v'omrim b'ira. Anyone want to continue? Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. That's time number two. Time number three. Kedusha ta'amida. When we say kedusha in the Chazarat Hashatz. Number four. Kedusha dovar etzion. So those are the four kedushas. Ushalosh kadishim hu, chatzi kadish kodem baruch hu, chatzi kadish acharei tefilat yuchetz, and kadish shalem acharei valetzion. So comes along the Mishnah Berurah and says, when you read the Shulchan Aruch and he says acharei valetzion, he really doesn't mean that. What does he mean? He means 1 minute later, namely after the kadish tiskabel, after acharei uvaletzion. The Eliyahu Rabbah, the Megillah and Mogen Avraham disagree and said, read the Shulchan Aruch straight. Kedusha v'Aretzion. He didn't say Kaddish. How do I know he didn't say Kaddish? Because he made a disclaimer. On Monday and Thursday when we read, we put back the Torah, then you have to wait till you put back the Torah. What do you do before you put back the Torah? You say Kaddish Shalem. So you should know there's a Machlokes Achronim. Generally, I would say, if you read the Shulchan Aruch straight, you can take off your tefillin after Asher Uvaletzion. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and says, he doesn't really mean that, he means the Kaddish after Asher Uvaletzion. So 1 minute later. Okay, 1 minute delay. Comes along, the Raman disagrees. V'yesh mi shekatav. There are those that wrote al tzada Kabbalah, based on Kabbalah. Shalom achlotz ad she'amar bahem shalosh kdushot ve'arba kadishim. Sounds familiar? Mm-hmm. Who used that term? The Mishnah Berurah. Shalosh Kedushot Arba Kaddishim. But instead of putting the fourth Kaddish Tiskabel, he puts it one more further. So, Ramah, Nusach Ashkenaz. Let's go. Everybody ready? Four Kaddishim. You have the Chatzi Kaddish before Baruch Hu. You have the Chatzi Kaddish after Chazarat Hashatz. Then you have Kaddish Shalem. And then you have the Kaddish Yatom after Aleinu. So now it's not 1 minute later, it's 2 minutes later. Correct? It's like a normative davening during the week where they daven fast. Right? So it's a very simple machloikis. Of course it's more Kaddishes, but you can take off your tefillin after four Kaddishes. So we have three opinions. Shulchan Aruch after Asher Uvaletzion. That's the way he reads. The Mishnah Berurah says what he really means is after three Kaddishes, namely after Kaddish Shalem. According to the Ramah, it means after the Kaddish Yatom, which is after Aleinu. Three opinions when you can take off your tefillin in the morning. After Uvaletzion, after the Kaddish Shalem, or after the Kaddish Yatom following Aleinu. Okay. We're not talking about a big difference of time here, right? We're talking about a minute later, a minute and a half later. But since there is a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch as to when you take off your tefillin, this must be a big issue. Namely, if the halacha is you're supposed to leave your tefillin on during davening, when does davening end? So what's the machlokas based on? What are these three opinions based on? From our perspective, let's say the two opinions, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Ashrei Uvaletzion versus the Kaddish Yatom after. What is it based on? So when you deal with any question like this, and we've said this many times around this table, how does halacha work? Either it's a general question or a particular question. The general question here would be,
when is davening really over?
Very good. When is davening over? If the halacha is you have to wear a tefillin during davening, when does davening end? Or you could say, that's a general question. Maybe the question is particular. How do we view Aleinu? After all, the Shulchan Aruch put the time you could take off your tefillin before Aleinu, and the Ramah put it after Aleinu. How do you view Aleinu? The Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah put it before Aleinu. One saying Avaletzion, one says Kaddish Shalem. While the Rama put it after. Let's start with the first question. Let's start with the first option. When does davening end? When does davening end? Shulchan Aruch says, "Atzula adam latzet mi beit haknesset kodem kedusha de sidra." A person should not leave shul until kedusha de sidra is over. Kedusha de sidra is part of Vavalitzion. According to this Shulchan Aruch, when does davening end? I don't know. It didn't say. All he said was he can't leave shul. So I'm assuming, and this is my assumption, that you can't leave shul is another way of saying you can't leave shul before davening is over. Davening is over here. Everything at the end is the icing on top of the cake. The Shir Shel Yom, the Yud Gimel, Ikari, that icing on the cake. Davening ends there. Comes along the Ramah. Same simon and says, V'omer acher siyum atfilah, at the end of davening you say, Aleinu l'shabeach. Now comes a halacha that is going to kill a bunch of people here. Literally and figuratively. V'omrim kadish yatom achar aleinu. And you say kadish yatom after aleinu. We know that. Now comes the part you're all going to fall off your seats. Everybody ready? Whoever's listening via the website, I want you all to sit down. Va'afilu en yatom bebeit ha-knesset. And even if the shul is filled with 10 people, 12 people, 15 people, no one has to say Kaddish. Either they finish their 11 months, or Baruch Hashem, their parents are alive. So you get to the end of Aleinu, and your siddur says, mourners Kaddish. You look around. Anybody a mourner? No? Going once? Going twice? Anyone want to be a mourner? Going once? What, you didn't find that was funny? Anyone wanted someone to be a mourner? No? Okay. What is usually done?
Someone says it anyway.
Halavai. Says the Ramah, Yomaroto, Mishen, lo avayim. Someone should say it anyway. And most shuls I daven in, they don't keep this Ramah. Oh, no Kaddish? Great. Move on. Save time. And if you have parents, you can ask permission from your parents. Can I say Kaddish? I'm in a shul where Baruch Hashem, everybody is not a mourner, but there's a halacha. You have to say Kaddish. So, first of all, sideline, according to the Ramah, the Kaddish after Aleinu was not optional. It's not the mourner's Kaddish. It's a Kaddish that's part of davening. We give the right of way, the triangle goes to the mourner. And if there isn't a mourner, someone else has to say it. Pecking order, someone that already said Kaddish once in their life. And if you didn't, Baruch Hashem, your parents are alive, you have to ask permission. Anyone understand this? In my humble opinion, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah have a very simple machlokas. When is the end of davening? According to the Shulchan Aruch, the end of davening is Asher Valetzion. According to the Ramah, no! The end of davening is the Kaddish Yatom after Aleinu. It's so obligatory that even if there is no mourner, you have to say that Kaddish. Now we can understand. The Shulchan Aruch said you can take off your tefillin after Av Shashua V'Aletzion. Why? That's the end of davening. According to the Ramah, what's the end of davening? The Kaddish Yatom after Aleinu. The Mishnah Berurah goes here and says, indeed, Mashma Me'apri Megadim, Dem Mekomot Shenogim Lomar Kaddish Yatom B'Choyom Acher Aleinu, Tov Shelo Lachlotz Adachar Kaddish Yatom. You better not to take off your tefillin until after Kaddish Yatom. And then he goes on and he keeps on saying the following words, and I'll just quote, U'bevaday lo gar mishar b'echot derabanan, da'asur lasot afilu tash mishkal b'shah she'u mevarech. He says, why don't you take off your tefillin? Because when you take off your tefillin, you divert your attention to the wrapping of the tefillin around the box, and you can't concentrate on what you're doing. How does he view the Aleinu and the Kaddish? No less than, what does he say? A bracha derabanan. It's like you're making the bracha on the Hanukkah candles, on the, you're making the bracha on the Megillah, you're making the bracha at the Maror, at the Seder night. Namely, he really sees it as part of davening, because he says it's like a bracha. No more, no less. It's like a bracha. Shulchan Aruch disagrees. Asher v'Aletzion, you're finished. So the first reason why the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah disagree, when do you take off your tefillin, is when is the end of davening? Everyone agrees you have to leave your tefillin on during davening. When is the end of davening? According to the Shulchan Aruch, Asher v'Aletzion. According to Ramah, after the Kaddish Yatom, after Aleinu. Just, we said parenthetically, that indeed, according to the Ramah, the Kaddish Yatom after Aleinu is not the mourner's Kaddish, it's Kaddish part of davening. There's a mourner, as I said, he gets the right of way, and if there is no mourner, someone should say it. Indeed, that's part of davening. But maybe there's a different reason for this machlokas. Maybe the machlokas is based on something totally different. And that is not when is the end of davening, but how do you view aleinu? Aleinu ends our shacharis and mincha and ma'ariv. Why? Comes along the Mishnah Brura and says, Magen Avraham Meshem Ari says, Sheyomru acharei kol gimel atfilot v'chen noagim imedinateinu. You have to say it at the end of all the three davening, shacharis, mincha, ma'ariv. Okay, according to the Mishnah Brura, what is aleinu? Aleinu is like a sign. You have reached the end of the line. Please exit the bus, the train. This is it. This is how we end davening. The sum total of our davening experience is the last words we say. Let's think about them in English. I always tell people, you want to understand davening? You want the right nigun for the word? Say it in English, and it will make sense. Like, it makes no sense in my mind, and I still can't grapple around it. How a person says, Ma ashiv la Hashem, kol tagmulo yalai, in a funeral song, for God's sakes. I am absolutely flabbergasted every time I see it. Ma ashiv la Hashem. Let's try singing that in English a second. You ready? What can I say to God? All the goodness came to me. Oh, it's so sad. Oh, yeah, blah. Sing that song, so sad. The whole niggun doesn't make sense. I always tell people, you want the right niggun for the words? Say it in English. Now let's say it in English. Aleinu l'shabeyach l'adon hakol. Translate. Anyone. Aleinu, we l'shabeyach. Praise l'adon hakol. To the master of all. What better way of ending davening? We just requested a lot of things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The best way to end is Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol lateik dula liyotzer bereshit. Great way to end davening. Praise the Lord. Have a good day. Comes along the Bach and says, I disagree. The Bayit Chadash, Rav Yoel Sirkis, the father-in-law of anyone? The Taz. The Bach comes along and says, no, I disagree. Hatamu litkoa bilvavenu. Kodem sheniftarim levatehem yichud malchut shamayim. Vishitchazek bilvavenu emuna zo, sheyavir gilulim en haaretz vahalim karot ekalentu nekehen olam bemalchut shakai. Ki az gam ki yesh lekol echad miyisrael masal matani magoyim ovdei avodah zara vegigulihem umatzlichim lo nifne levavenu ela elilim velo yaleh bemachshava chas v'shalom shu hiru ravera. What does the Bach say? Aleinu was not the end of davening. Davening was beautiful. Davening was very religious, very spiritual, beautiful. What is Aleinu? What is the function that Aleinu fulfills? Let's read it again. The reason is to put it into our hearts, kodem sheniftarim levatehem, a minute before you go home, yichud malchut shamayim, that Hashem is the real king, because what's going to happen when you leave shul? You're going to have a lot of business dealings with non-Jews, and maybe they're richer than you. And you may say, hey, you know, maybe I'm in the wrong place over here. Maybe I should be a Catholic. It's a better deal. Let's think about this. I'll be a Protestant, a Catholic, or whatnot, because look, they have more money than me. Or, look at their prayer service. It's not every day, three times a day. Once a week they have to go to church. It's a one-hour service. Nobody talks because it's only 1 hour. In and out. Back home. Sounds good. In order for that not to happen, you say Aleinu. According to the Bach, what is Aleinu? The end of davening or the beginning of real life outside of shul? The introduction to life outside of shul? The safety net that will ensure your Judaism outside of shul? Which of the above? Is it the end of davening or the beginning of life outside of shul?
It can be both.
Beginning of life outside of shul.
Yeah, it could be both.
It's not both.
Davening, it's also the beginning of life outside.
That's not what the Bach says. Kodem sheniftarim levatehem. He's already thinking about leaving shul. So it's like what did the Mishnah Brura say? Achar kol gimel atfilot. It's the end of davening. It's a nice way to end davening. That's Aleinu. It's the sum total of our davening experience. According to the Bach, it's the beginning of our experience outside of shul. I would like to suggest this is the machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. If you say you have to wear tefillin during davening, got it. I have no issue with that. So when does davening end? According to the Mishnah Brura, after Aleinu, achar kol gimel atfilot. Fine. According to the Bach, when does davening end? Before Aleinu. What's Aleinu? Aleinu is the beginning of our life outside of shul. It's the safety net that will ensure that we will be devoted to God, the Taken Olam B'Malchut Shakai, Va'alelim Karot Yikareitun, and not, God forbid, just be seduced by the various seductions outside of shul. So therefore, we understand now the machlokes beautifully. If Aleinu is the end of davening, we have to wait till Aleinu is over to take off our tefillin. But if Aleinu is not the end of davening, Aleinu happens to be the beginning of life outside of shul, then I can understand your tefillin are off before Aleinu. So, we had an interesting share today, in my humble opinion. We'll just sum it up. When do you take off your tefillin? People want to get out of shul fast, because shul is a place not many people like to be too long. When can you take off your tefillin? The Shulchan Aruch said, after Ashrei Uvalitzion. The Mishnah Berurah said, after the Kaddish Shalem. And the Ramah said, after what's called the Kaddish Yatam. And we explained it in one of two ways. Either it's a machlokes as to when davening is over. According to the Shulchan Aruch, davening is over after Ashrei Uvalitzion. According to the Ramah, after the Kaddish Yatam. And the ramification is the Kaddish Yatam, the mourner's Kaddish after Aleinu, really a mourner's Kaddish or part of davening? And the second way we explained it is, what's Aleinu? Is Aleinu the end of davening or the beginning of life outside of shul? If it's the end of davening, you've got to leave your tefillin on until Aleinu's over. If it's a sum total of the davening experience, leave your tefillin on. But if it's the beginning of life outside of shul, then you can take it off before Aleinu. Yes?
In our davening, the end of davening ain't till Aleinu.
Correct. I have not found the point of view that said that Ein Kelokeinu is part of davening to the sense that you can't take off your tefillin. In other words, to fulfill the minhag to leave your tefillin on for davening, for tefillah, I have not found an opinion that says, no, that means Ein Kelokeinu. However, if you want to do acrobatics, you can do the following. You can say, oh, I paskin like the Ramah. You can't take off your tefillin until after Kaddish Yatom, after Aleinu. But I daven Nusach Sfart. So where is my Aleinu? After Ein Kelokeinu. It's only one problem with that beautiful acrobatic. The Ramah himself, and we read it inside, didn't daven Nusach Sfart. He daven Nusach Ashkenaz. There's a beautiful story about the Vishnitzer Rebbe. When he came to Krakow, the former Vishnitzer Rebbe who passed away, he came to Krakow for Shabbos, and he davened in the Beit Knesset HaRamah. And he went into the Beit Knesset HaRamah, and all the Hasidim are with him, because no Rebbe travels alone, and he gets to the part of davening where there's a big, big machlokes between Nusach Sfarta and Nusach Ashkenaz. Do you say Bamim Adlikin, or do you say Kegavna? What do you think the Vishnitzer Rebbe would have said in his shtibel in Bnei Brak? Kegavna. What do you think he said in Krakow? Bamim Adlikin. All the Hasidim are looking. We're going to daven Nusach Ashkenaz. That's worse than eating Chazir on Yom Kippur. The only thing worse than eating Chazir on Yom Kippur is to eat Gebrochs on Pesach for a Chasid. And they're looking around. How in God's name did we do this? So one guy, of course, in every Hasidic story has the courage to ask the Rebbe. And he asks the Rebbe, Vuzuk, so what happened? He said, what are you talking about? This is the Beit Knesset HaRamah. The Ramah is the Mora d'Asra. We go by the local custom. Beautiful story. One thing I can't understand in that story. How do you remain the rabbi of the shul when you're dead for 400 years? I don't know. That's the only part I didn't understand in the story. Having said that, it's a beautiful story because it seems like the influence of the Ramah, according to the Vishnitzer Rebbe, continues because we follow his Piskei Halacha to this very moment. So how dare you, in his own shul, go against his Piskei Halacha? Okay, yes, Mr. Weiser. In the yeshiva I grew up in, we said both. It was very nice. We said both. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Amital, my Rebbe, once explained like this. He said, Boma Madlikin is for the Litvakin, the intellectuals. It's Mishnayos. Gegavna, no one understands. It's from the Zohar. It's more of an experiential Judaism. That's for the Hasidim. We have to educate our Talmidim for both. They should have a mind and a heart. So the mind is Bamei Madlikin and the heart is Kegavna. Everyone knows Raza de Shabbos, Zihi Shabbos. What does that mean? I don't know, but it's beautiful. It sounds nice. Right? V'chulahon mitatri v'dishpatin chaditin. Ah, beautiful. But it's more of an experience than we understand. Bamei Madlikin is simple. It's Hebrew. What do you light the Shabbos candles with? And what don't you light the Shabbos candles with? So, something to be said. Mr. Weiser, continue, yes, please.
What about
If you have no chance, if it's still night, meaning before Alos HaShachar, we paskin lahalocha that daven, that putting tefillin on at night is only an Isser Derabbanan. The reason for that is that maybe during the night you'll touch your tefillin, it'll touch a part of your body that's usually covered. So therefore, lahalocha, we paskin that if you have no choice, you can put on tefillin at night. But in general, if you have the choice, you wait till Mishayakir at the right time in the morning.